Hello and welcome to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. Encounter is a co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. My name is Dan Dimitay and I'm joined here today not with my co-host Patrick Rice, but with another great friend and brother in Christ, Aaron Richards. Aaron, welcome to Encounter.
Hi, everybody. I'm so excited to be here again.
Yeah, so Aaron has been a guest on our show in the past, and he is co-hosting with me today. So Aaron and I, we run a ministry called Damascus, and one of the anchor programs and missions of Damascus is Catholic Youth Summer Camp, where we transform thousands of young people's lives every summer. And Aaron and I, we've been doing Catholic Youth Summer Camp together since 2001.
I don't even think we mentioned that on the last show.
No.
Yeah. I've known Dan since he was like wearing studded bracelets and belts.
Oh, yes, that's right. I was a punk rocker. So we went to the same grade school, went to the same high school, same college, and we've been doing ministry together since we were like 16, 17 years old. So it's pretty exciting. So Aaron, why don't you open us up in prayer today?
Absolutely. Let's pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God, we bless you for all the good that you have done in our lives, Jesus, and just for who you are. Father, thank you for the work that you are about, not only in and through us, but especially in the lives of the people that you've called us to encounter. Jesus, I thank you especially for the ministry of Catholic Youth Summer Camp, for what you're doing through each of our families, for the work of St. Gabriel Radio, God, and for Catholic parishes and ministries that are seeking your heart and doing your work everywhere and every day. We come into the opportunity to meet with amazing people, Jesus, and just to live the life that you've called us to live and to see it lived out in extraordinary ways. So, Jesus, bless the work that we're about. Bless the work of every person who's listening to this show today. God, and continue to be about the work of mission in the world.
And Lord, I just pray that today you would transform our listeners' lives so they would grow to hear your voice more. They would grow to know you more. I pray that just a release of joy would come from heaven during this episode. Anyone listening that's lacking hope, Lord, I just pray that you'd pour forth hope, that God is going to bring you hope, listeners, today. God's going to bring you an increase of joy. God wants to prioritize your life and allow you to see things from his perspective, not a worldly perspective. Lord, we just thank you. We pray that you would bring a renewal of the mind, shift our mindsets today, that we would see like you see. We pray all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Aaron, this is going to be fun, okay?
This is going to be so fun.
So we, you know, ministry is hard sometimes. Like Jesus says, if we're in ministry, we're going to get like rebuked and persecuted and all of that. But when Aaron and I were young, we chose to do the best kind of ministry ever. We run a high adventure summer camp.
Yes.
So our persecution usually revolves in like riding jet skis and playing paintball and having fun. So it's a different kind of like hard ministry. But can you give a context? What is Catholic Youth Summer Camp?
Absolutely. So we started in 2001. That was a long time ago. We started as a parish outreach here in one of the local parishes in Columbus, Ohio. And we've been blessed to see over the course of 15 years that God's just grown this ministry from grassroots all the way to, honestly, I mean, I want to be bold in saying that this is one of the most impactful ministries that's happening in the church today for young people. We're a ministry where we seek to live the adventure of our Catholic faith. Our mission is to awaken, empower, and equip a generation to live the adventure of their faith through high adventure activities, through world-class programming, and through an environment of encounter. And we do that at Catholic Youth Summer Camp through high adventure activities leading to a high adventure faith. So students come and join us for a week of, like Dan suggested, of the jet skis, of the high ropes course, of the paintball, of all of the exciting things that make camp what camp is. And we use that as a vehicle to introduce them to a relationship with God, to introduce them to a prayer life where they're able to encounter the voice of God and to live a life of evangelization, to live a life of mission.
Yeah, you know, the Dynamic Catholic Institute did a major research process, and they came up with the fact that 89%, so like 5 out of 6 young people are falling away from their faith before within 10 years after their confirmation. Yeah. So like if your parish listeners has 100 students in their confirmation class, that means 89% of them are going to fall away from the faith before they even graduate college, right? Like, that's insane. 89 of them will fall. And so
it's not only insane, it's not acceptable.
It's not acceptable. Why are we bleeding out? And what we're striving to do is to help young people in middle school and high school have a life-changing encounter. So that same study realized that of those who remained Catholic, that they identified some event or an experience that triggered their faith commitment.
Yep.
And I think sometimes in ministry, like, we can get critical of like, oh, like, it can't just be about mountaintop experiences. And of course it can't, but like, you see all through scripture, mm-hmm. where do people encounter God?
On the mountaintop.
On the mountaintop, right? And so like, are we supposed to live in the desert as the people of God? No, like, we want to be equipped in times of dryness, but we want to be able to find mountaintop experiences where Christ awakens our faith and shows us who he is, so that when we leave the mountain, what do we want to do? We want to bring other people up to the mountain,
Amen.
Right? Like, hey, I encountered this guy and he transformed my life. Let's get up there with him. And
so one of the coolest things is as we, you know, Dan and I, as we and our staff go through our day to day, it's easy, even in church world, to get overwhelmed by the day to day grind of work. And it's so good to be reminded of actually encountering relationship with the lives that are being transformed. So we get the blessing every day to work with an amazing staff of missionaries who are really working on the front lines in living this call to discipleship and living this call to mission. And it's so good to actually see and to engage in the individuals whose lives are being touched. And that's who we have with us today.
Yeah. And so we're going to bring on the show a few of our campers. They've been coming to camp and their lives have been transformed. You know, I think one of the keys in ministry, Aaron, is that it's not just about leading young people to have an encounter with Jesus. Like, mm-hmm. this show is all about highlighting people's encounter with Jesus and then how they are living lives of extraordinary mission. And,
yeah, absolutely.
And that's what we're about with Catholic Youth Summer Camp. We want to bring young people to an encounter with Jesus, but it's not just about forming disciples and young disciples. It's mm-hmm. actually about forming young missionary disciples. And it's not about watering the faith down. Our bishop here in Columbus one time, he said something that was so profound. Someone asked a question at a meeting for youth ministers. And basically the bishop's response was, you know, I think we need to provide a faith that kids don't grow out of, but they grow into.
Yeah.
And I think so often our outreach to young people is something where kids are like, oh, well, I grew out of that. Like, it was mm-hmm. too childish. It was watered down. And like, and I think what we're trying to provide is a faith that young people grow into, where it's like, well, we're going to teach you how to hear the voice of God. We're going to teach you how to have a daily prayer life and how to meditate on scripture through Lectio Divina. We our campers go to daily mass and we teach them every day before mass about another element of the mystery of the mass. So why do we do the offertory? Why do we have the penitential rite? What is the epiclesis? Like, how many fifth graders and sixth graders do you know that are able to define the epiclesis, right? Yeah. Like, because we're trying to engage them into the mystery so they grow into their faith as opposed to out of it.
Yeah. And so often our temptation in ministry is to set the bar low, right? It's to water down the truth so that it can become accessible.
Yeah.
And I think that's the, you know, that's what we've been told we have to do to actually engage young people. And that's not reality. We have to raise the bar so that they can rise to it. And here's the good thing. The good news is that it works. It actually works.
No, really? It is. And young people are hungry for it, and it's contagious. So what we've seen is year after year, our camp numbers grow. And the camp numbers don't grow because we have a lot of, like, really, awesome marketing plans and all these awesome, like,
really
marketing agents.
Highly attractive, amazing, talented directors.
Yeah, no, it's growing because our young people are actually becoming evangelists. And just like St. Andrew, when he encountered the living God, he goes to his brother Peter and says, come and see, I've met the Messiah, I have found the Messiah. And that's what we see from our campers. They encounter the living God, and then we send them back into their schools on mission, and they go to their friends and their classmates and their sports mates, and they're like, come and see, I've encountered the Messiah. And then they invite. And so much of evangelization is invitation.
Amen.
It's about inviting your friends or the people in your life into environments that are going to transform. And like, I think sometimes we're like, oh man, I've got to figure out all the perfect ways to evangelize my coworkers or my friends and I can't, or my family, and I can't figure out how to evangelize them at the dinner table. And of course, it's hard to evangelize at work, but what if instead we just invited our coworkers to an alpha program, to a ministry program at our church, to invite them into relationship with other Christians from our community, where now all of a sudden, like, I'm introduced to the community of the faithful, the church, and my life is transformed through the Eucharist.
And our guests today are gonna show us that in one of the most intimidating ways possible. I think sometimes we would even think, man, I could do this to strangers. Like, I could tell strangers about Jesus. I might even be able to tell my coworkers about Jesus, but my family?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, that's intimidating, right?
Amen to that.
We've got two sisters today.
Sister. Sorry, I had to do it.
That may need to be edited out. who are gonna share their witness of the life that they're living together, even in middle school and high school. And we're so excited to see this. We know this family well, and they've been a part of our ministries here for, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years. And they're truly living this this call to missionary discipleship.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break. If you're listening to this show, don't go anywhere, because we're going to have a 7th grader and a 12th grader on Encounter Radio sharing about their life-changing encounter and how they are leading other people to encounter the living God and transforming their parishes and their schools and their family. We will be right back.
With Apple TV, you can instantly stream Encounter with Dan Demite and Patrick Rice to your TV. All you need is a high-speed internet connection, a TV, and the Apple TV player. EWTN, it's everywhere.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith, and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, weekdays 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to Encounter, the show that brings you the life-changing encounters of ordinary people and launch them into lives of extraordinary mission. So, Aaron, we are going to give our audience a treat right now.
I can't wait.
For the first time in Encounter history, we have two minors sharing their conversion story. Wow, let's welcome in studio both Lizzie and Kate.
Yay! Welcome, ladies.
All right, so Lizzie, just for our guest, can you just introduce yourself? Like, what grade are you in?
I'm in 7th grade at Immaculate Conception School.
Wow. And what age are you?
I'm 12.
Oh, that is such power. And then, Kate, how old are you?
I am 17.
And you guys are sisters, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay, so Aaron, like in the Gospels, Jesus refers to James and John as like the sons of thunder.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm just going to proclaim you guys as the daughters of thunder. That's pretty exciting. listeners, this is just a powerhouse sister relationship that just is sharing their love for the Lord with the world. Yeah. So why don't you start with just sharing kind of your conversion story, how you fell in love with Jesus with the world. So Lizzie, do you want to start?
Oh, sure. Probably the first time when I was like singing during like a time of adoration, and it was like, it just like literally hit me. It was really cool. Because, like, I had never really experienced, Jesus. And during that time, I was, like, I didn't really put him first. I didn't think about it. I was just living my life without, like, even caring about, like, hey, there's someone out there who wants to know me, who wants to love me. Mm. And I think that, like, completely, like, that truth was really shown to me when, like, during adoration, when I just saw it showed me the face of Jesus. So it was really cool.
That's awesome.
That's amazing. So when you say you saw the face of Jesus, what do you mean by that?
When, like, the monstrance came out, it, like, just, like, the Luna, it was, like, I thought it was, like, I had this really weird sensation, so I was like, this is the face of Jesus. So I think that's him showing that, like, it is him.
Awesome. So, Lizzie, most normal, was this in sixth grade?
Yeah.
So most normal sixth graders like are bored at mass, like they haven't necessarily, wouldn't say like they've had this powerful encounter with Jesus' love in the Eucharist. Why do you think that you were able to see Christ in the Eucharist so beautifully and fall in love with him?
I don't really know, but I think it's just, I think I was able to because God like had this like in store for me.
Yeah.
Had like a plan for me to like figure out that like he was in my heart and like he was with me like probably in sixth grade just like at that time like it was his plan, so I think that's why.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing,
Lizzie. One of the things that I think we've noticed that God really responds to is hunger. Do you how would you say that you were hungry for God's presence in your life in sixth grade?
Probably just because like I was really searching for something that I needed to like have comfort and to feel loved, and I just didn't I didn't feel like I had that. And I feel like when like I was like searching for something like that, I found Jesus. So yeah,
I love that.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Do you think other people are searching for that?
Yes, definitely.
How do you see that?
Probably just like especially with my friends, just seeing them just like at school or in like mass, just seeing them sitting there, just saying the thing, saying the responses and singing without like no meaning. And I feel like they're looking for something that like they don't have.
Yeah. What'd you do in response? Like when you got home from this Eucharistic encounter and you were seeing your friends with no like passion or purpose at mass, like what did you do in response?
I think I was just, like, trying to share the joy of, like, what I had received. And I just, like, I was kind of getting disappointed because I was like, God, why aren't you, like, why aren't you doing this for them, too? And I felt like it was, like, my turn. Since he helped me, it was my turn to help them.
Mm. Yeah, so praise the Lord. And what did you do to help them?
Kind of, I think I was, like, I interacted with some of the kids more and just, like, not caring, like, if, like, or being nervous around them and just, like, being kind to them and including them. Probably just, like, being joyful and being kind and just trying to be, like, the face of God to them.
Praise the Lord. I love it. All right, Kate, that's your little sister. You can't let your little sister show you up, right? That was pretty powerful. She's just like, yeah, I went to adoration and Jesus blasted me with his merciful love. So Kate, why don't you share with our audience, like, how did you encounter Jesus?
Oh gosh. Well, there's been many instances, but, I kind of like, I heard about like, I grew up knowing my faith, but not like knowing who God was. And so the first time I think I really like saw God, or I started like realizing like, oh, there's something more. And I've been like missing out just like all this time, but was probably in adoration, just kind of like every adoration has always been like a pivotal like time where I like see like God, and I kind of, I don't know, it's really easy to hear God in adoration. So I have heard God probably many different times in adoration, but that would be like,
that's awesome.
Okay, so many people your age would say, like, I've never heard God. Like, I try to pray, but I never hear God speak to me. Like, how would you contextualize when you say you hear God? Like, what do you mean by that?
Oh, gosh.
Get really mystical on us right now.
It's kind of, I didn't really know how to listen to God until, like, a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when I kind of, like, realized, I feel like it's different for every person. But for me, it was, it's just kind of like I would try to like silence all of my thoughts, and it would kind of be like my inner conscience talking, mm-hmm. and then I would just kind of hear, and you have to, like, it comes with a lot of trust. You have to so much trust that you can, it's actually, like, his voice, and it's not just, like, yourself. So I had to, like, grow and, like, understand that that was actually not myself talking, and it was actually God, like, speaking to me through, like, my, like, inner conversation and, like, dialogue with myself.
Praise the Lord. That's so mature to understand and to wrestle with. Yeah. What are some things God's told you in prayer? About yourself.
I am a leader, which sometimes, to me, doesn't come as, sometimes not as easy as I think it is, or for me to lead. But in, I have so much confidence in myself, but sometimes it, like, those lies will, like, come in and be like, you shouldn't say that, or just, like, just little things. And so God reminding me that I am, like, confident and, like, courageous and powerful, and everything that I say and how I encounter people can, like, actually, like, make an impact.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
You know, I love that, because you talk about the inner lies, right? And so many of us just struggle with these lies inside of our minds, where the evil one just wants to whisper to us, like, you're not strong enough, right? But when you know the voice of God, mm-hmm. and you can go to him in prayer, you can hear him say, yeah, okay, you're confident, you're strong, you're powerful. And then you're able to mm-hmm. respond to those lies and be like, hey, I am confident, I am powerful. And you're just a weak little liar. Mm-hmm. I love that. So how have you acted, like, in times of, like, okay, I'm nervous, or I'm faced with fear, but I'm going to move in confidence and power and strength as a leader. Like, so God inspires you in prayer. He speaks to you. He tells you who you are. You are my leader. You're strong. And now you're going to respond by overcoming fear and difficulty.
Oh, gosh. Probably I kind of, if I'm ever in a, if I was in a situation like that, I kind of go back to that, like, inner, like, dialogue, and I, like, talk to God, and I, like, mm-hmm. A lot of times I ask the Holy Spirit, like, what I should, like, say, or if there's anything about this, like, if I was talking to a person or a group, or, like, leading a group, or with, like, or even just with my classmates, I would kind of, sometimes I ask the Holy Spirit if there's anything, like, about the other person that I should, like, there's something just, like, I don't know if, does that make sense?
Yeah. So you ask the Holy Spirit, is there something about this other person that you want to share?
Yeah, with them, or there's something they need to hear from God that I need to, like, say to them, mm-hmm. or
that's awesome.
Pray with them, yeah.
So that's like the gift of prophecy, right? Where you're asking, Holy Spirit, can you just reveal something about this person and let me share that word with them? So mm-hmm. like, do you have any stories about when that's happened?
Probably whenever I'm in, well, I went on at Watterson, we have Kairos, the retreat, mm-hmm. and I went on it last year with a couple of juniors, and then as seniors, we now have led it. And so we had our own small groups. And so a lot of times, like, when I'm in that, like, situation, it kind of reminds me to, like, go to God also, which is kind of good, because sometimes you just need that reminder. And I would, just if, like, someone was asking a question, or they, like, needed, or a word, or a specific, just, if they had a question, a lot of times I would ask God in that situation, and he would usually give me an answer, because a lot of times, like, by intuition, I kind of just know if that's, like, I should say that, or if it came from God and I should just, like, speak that. And a lot of times I always do, which, so, yeah.
I love that. Praise, like, the Lord.
That's so awesome. Okay, when would you say in your life you started, like, having that relationship with God, where you were talking to him and understanding his mm-hmm. word?
Probably not until, like, just, like, 2 years ago even.
Yeah.
Because I would always, like, speak to God, and, like, I mean, of course, there's, like, different types of prayer, and, like, there's asking, and but there's also, like, I realized there was listening, like, receiving in, so, like, yeah, two years ago in prayer, I kind of just, like, and also with help of, like, other people in my life and, like, friends, and they just kind of, like, help me, like, attune to, like, hearing his voice.
And the cool thing is, in 2 years' time, the way you're speaking now, even as a senior in high school, is just so mature in intimacy and in relationship with him. And it's cool to see how, even in just in 2 years of pursuing that type of a relationship with him, that your whole perspective on your spiritual life and relationship with Jesus can be transformed.
Yeah.
In John's gospel, Jesus says, you know, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. They understand him because they know his voice, because they follow him because they know his voice. And they'll never follow a stranger, but they'll run away from the stranger because they don't recognize the stranger's voice. That's in John chapter 10, verse 4. And I see that being played out so clearly in your life, that because you know the voice of your shepherd, because you know the voice of Jesus, that you're able to make those choices and ignore those lies. And you're going to be such an inspiration to your friends and to your family.
Amen. All right, girls, so you both love praise and worship. You're like worship junkies, right? Like, give me some more worship, geez. Like you got kind of like a twitch because you need some more worship. And so like, what why do you love to worship the Lord so much? And why should the church, like, why do we want to, like, break out in a jubilant, like, song of praise to Jesus Christ? Like, why should we wake up as a church? What makes you fall, like, what has made you fall in love with worship so much?
Okay. I think for me, just like the joy, I think, of, like, the Lord and just his, like, presence kind of, that makes me want to sing or just, like, rejoice. And so I feel like praise and worship is a very good way, at least it has been for me, to do that and to just kind of, like, show even, like, gratitude to, like, the fact that he did give us all, like, voices to, like, praise him. And so that's
awesome, Kate. Thanks. What about you, Lizzie?
Probably because, like, it always, like, has seemed like the songs, when we sing them, I always feel like there's so much, like, truth in the songs. And I feel like when I, like, proclaim them, I feel like I'm proclaiming them, telling, like, God, like, yes, like, this is true. You love me. This, all of these things are true. And I feel like it always just, like, is a way that you can, like, come to know God better.
I love that. Awesome. Praise the Lord. So what do you think, do you believe that God is real?
Yes.
Okay. So if God wasn't real, would worship be really weird?
Yeah.
Isn't that like, you know, like, could you imagine, like, so you've been in gatherings, right, before, like, kind of explain for our listeners who've never heard of Catholic Youth Summer Camp, who have never been to Catholic Youth Summer Camp, explain to them what does even worship look like when you're in a room with, 350 people? What's it look like?
Can vary. But
yeah,
you definitely see a lot of smiling people.
Yeah.
Maybe you're one of those people who likes to praise with your hands up, like, to the Lord. Or even just, like, I mean,
yeah, or like, or kneeling,
just,
yeah,
any.
Kind of got this, like, I'm just picturing, like, imagine if, like, you didn't believe that God was real and you walked in this room with 350, like, middle schoolers or high schoolers, and they're singing at the top of their lungs, their hands are raised, they're, like, falling down on knees or like, just experiencing, like, jubilant laughter or tears of love and you're like, wait a second, like, it would be ridiculous to worship like this if God wasn't real, right? And just how when we enter into worship, it almost says to the world, like, listen, we believe with all of our heart that there's this invisible God whose presence we're in right now that we can worship. And it's foolishness in the world, right? It's foolishness in the world's eyes. And it's just a testimony to faith, which is cool. All right, girls, so you believe that Jesus is real. Do you want others to believe that Jesus is real?
Yes.
Do you want others to encounter Jesus' love?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you, before I get there, because I want to hear how you're leading others to, with joyful expression to encounter Jesus. But everything hasn't always been picture perfect in your life, right? You've had crosses in your life. So Kate, when you were like 8 years old or seven, you found out that your mom was diagnosed with cancer. And so what has that journey been like?
Well, when I was younger, I didn't really like think of it that much. I kind of just would like be like, oh, my mom has cancer. Just like not really. It was kind of because when you're younger, you don't really like think of all the details. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of just that. But and you'll notice is like throughout our entire like lives, like with her, we never like. You wouldn't have known that, like, she did have cancer. So we lived our lives like she didn't have it. And she lived her life like she didn't have that, like, disease that was, like, with her. So I kind of grew up just, like, normally. It would not, like, I feel like if some, maybe it might have been different for, like, everyone is different, like, with different people they have who have like diseases like that. But with us, it was kind of like, yeah, I think we were blessed in that way also. It was such a like filled and like full life like that we had like during those, my 16 years with her. So, but as I grew up, it like, of course you like have that background, like worry, but in kind of, just, yeah, that's how I, as I got older, I, like, would worry about it more, but I kind of, my faith was my only thing that kind of, like, got me to, like, remembering that kind of, like, just that God has a plan and that he only, like, wants the best for me and just, like, for my family, and so he would never, like, it wasn't, and through this, like, ever since she passed away, it was kind of, like, it's still a process. But realizing that it's, like, definitely, God would never, like, do anything like that in anyone's life. Like, it just has to do with, like, there's, like, God's will and God's, like, permissive will. And so it's not really, that wasn't God's will. And so I have kind of realized that. And so that's what's like got me a lot, like through just like so far. And I'm sure there will be different like humps and like bumps in the road. But so far, that's what's like, God is always going to be, I guess, faithful. And like, he's never going to do anything that's not going to be like, he'll always make something like good out of like bad things. Mm. So
Lizzie, most people who describe you would say like you're one of the most joyful people they know, right?
Yeah. And
maybe even the most joyful person in existence.
Possibly. Earlier, someone was sharing a story of how like you got a head injury one time, and you're like bleeding, and you're laughing, and you're like, "Wow, this is wonderful!" So that's great. Usually, when you're bleeding from your head, you're not like laughing and with utter joy. So, this past year, your mother lost the battle to cancer, and she passed, and even in the midst of all of that, both of you have remained so joyful. And how has your faith inspired the joy, or what is the cause of your joy that through suffering and through not little suffering, like major suffering, you've been able to stay joyful?
Probably. I think the way I've like found to be able to be joyful is probably by like looking at the, like, incredible example of my mom. Like, every day she would wake up, go and make breakfast for all of us. Then she would make my lunch. I would go to school. She would be doing laundry, doing whatever when we came home. But she, like, never thought about herself. She was completely selfless and was like, what can I do for my family today or for, like, others today? And, like, I feel like she lived with joy, just, I think,
by doing that, it brought so much joy into her heart. And I feel like if I, like, begin to, like, be selfless and, like, care about other people and, like, do what I can for others, I feel like it'll, like, bring so much joy and to just be, like, happy that, like, hey, there's people who are happy to know me and, like, who are, like, happy because of my incredible example. So, yeah.
Awesome. I love that. So how do you... Has it been hard to remain giving to others when you have difficulties in your own life? And how have you been other-focused even through difficulties?
Yes, it has been hard to, like, it's hard when I want to be, like, try to be kind to others, but when I'm, like, suffering and, like, when I'm down, it's hard to do that. And, like, I feel like sometimes people don't notice when, like, you're down or, like, upset or like about my mom or like or suffering in some way, people just don't notice, and I feel like kind of down from that, and it's like hard to like be like kind to others when I feel like they're not being the same to me.
So you shared earlier about how, you know, when you're in adoration or when you're praying, God speaks to you. So in this past year while you've been undergoing this great trial, what are some of the things God's been sharing with you in prayer to encourage you?
For me, probably just that, like, he's never going to leave me. That, like, through, like, everything that I'm going to go through, that he'll be there for me, and he's not going to leave because, like, he loves me, and he just wants to comfort me through everything.
I love that. What about you, Kate?
I remember just, like, the Lord, or in speaking to me through prayer, even just, like, last year at camp or just, like, in adoration, I kind of would, this one, he said, like, two words, because I mean, through all this, you, like, sometimes you question and you're like, why did this or do these kinds of things happen? And so I heard him say to me these two words, and it kind of, like, just hit me. And he was like, it kind of just reminded me of all of, like, is like one of those little flashback things where you, like, are like, oh, just, like, remembered of all, or you remember everything that God has, like, been with you in like the past, and then he will be in like the future. Well, anyway, those two words were I'm sorry. And so the fact that, like, he's, like, there, and but, like, just those two, like, small little words made a really big, like, just, like, reminder of that he is very I think this is the right word, empathetic and very like compassionate. And so he, like, you can, like, unite that kind of, like, suffering, I guess, like, even with, like, Jesus's death on the cross, which is, that's, like, reminded me a lot too. So those are,
That he sees you and he knows you and he knows your name and he knows your struggles and he cares.
That's so beautiful. I mean, that's the power of being able to hear the voice of God in prayer, right? That, like, so often when people undergo difficulties and struggles, they feel like God has left them and has done this to them. And, you know, God has shared with you about this wasn't my will and I'm sorry this happened. And to be able to, like, have God in Eucharistic adoration, to be there with Jesus and to hear him say to you, like, I'm sorry that you're hurting, that changes everything. Or to be able to, like you said, Lizzie, to hear him say, like, I'm never going to leave you. Like, that just changes everything. And God's voice, it's a game changer for us. So girls, what are you, how are you, bringing your faith to others, right? You want others to, and I want to thank you first for sharing that. Like, I know that it's still raw and it's difficult. And listeners, this is just a great example of an authentic relationship with God, what you have, right? It's not clean, it's not polished, it's not like a professional presentation of, like, I've memorized every word of this script that I'm going to share, but you're just sharing your heart, and that takes a lot of vulnerability, so thank you for that. And I know that even in even in the midst of everything, with you falling in love with Jesus and you falling in love with worship and you undergoing difficulties with your mom's passing, you've always, both of you have remained evangelists and like you want to share the gospel with others. And like, I don't know, you probably don't hear the, like, I hear stories on the street because that's where I hang out on the street. And people are like, oh man, like Kate's like all over Waterston evangelizing her friends. And Lizzie, she's like crazy. She like, as a sixth grader, like organized her whole class to go to Eucharistic adoration. I don't even know how you do that. Like, Lizzie, can you like explain a little bit? Like, what did you like, did you actually like convince your class that like they should check out adoration?
Oh, kind of, yeah. So I kind of like, it's like, hey, have you heard of adoration?
And what's that?
Yeah, some of, I feel like there's a few of them that still don't know what it is, but like I was like, this is like, it's an incredible experience. And like I remember when I was trying to, like, have some of my class to come, I remember some, like, not, like, some of them taking it, like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. And, did you make flyers, or what'd you do? Like, how'd you convince people to come? You, like, bribe them with ice cream or something?
I really think it was just the work of God. I mean, because,
oh,
like...
there's a holy answer.
Yeah. But probably just, I feel like... sometimes I think I can be a little bit convincing.
There you go. That smile.
Yeah.
Just a little. Kate's over here like, yes. Just a little.
But probably, yeah, that. And I remember, when was it? I think the beginning of fifth grade year when we were going to sign up for Catholic Youth Summer Camp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember I was talking about it. I'm like, hey, guys, this is so cool. Kate, my
you
sister's been
Jesus.
Going. Yeah. And my sister's been going for, like, I mean, I don't even remember how many years she had been going, like four. And I remember then a few months later, and they're like, oh, we're all signed up for Catholic Youth Summer Camp. And I'm like,
yes.
Wow.
Perfect.
So.
Falling right into my
yeah.
I love that. Great job. That's amazing. And what about you, Kate? Like, what are you doing at Waterston to try to help share the gospel or with your friendships?
Oh, gosh. I kind of, sometimes it's a challenge, but like, I love, this is going to sound weird, but I love evangelizing.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
What are you going to do with your weekend? I'm going evangelizing.
But at school, it can be very hard sometimes, uh-huh. But kind of just like, sometimes it, like, especially in high school, you don't, like, a lot of people are not, like, very, like, joyful, and they're dreading school, and mm-hmm. So maybe, or a lot of times, I just, like, find that, I, like, counteract that, and I'm like, it's okay, you're almost done with the day, just, like, being joyful, and, like, every, like, kind of, like, suffering that they're, like, kind of, sometimes unnecessarily putting mm-hmm. on themselves, but in helping them like realize the like bigger picture sometimes. And even at lunch, we don't get a lot of times during the school day to like converse and like have like real conversations. So whenever I get the chance to, though, like at lunchtime, or I always just like try to be really like present with people. And even or if there's, like, maybe a topic comes up that's about, like, your faith or something, or if they're talking about, because, I mean, of course, since we go to a Catholic school, we have theology. Yeah. So if we're, like, talking about something, I'll try to be, like, the best witness I can to just, like, Jesus and, like, what he speaks just, like, about that. But, yeah, so joy and just like being very like authentic and like present with people and like just trying to uplift like everyone who's there.
I love that. Thank you.
That's great. Girls, it's so apparent that you've got such a solid relationship and you're such an anchor for each other. I know in my own kids' lives, I want to just encourage them to be that source of strength for one another. I'm wondering, here's an awkward question for you. I hope that it's not too bad. I wonder if you could share with us and with each other today, what inspires you most about your sister?
Wow, there
That's
you go.
That's a good question.
Kate, why don't you go first?
Okay. I think, Liz has probably just always been, she's always been very joyful. Even now. I can imagine. I feel like sometimes we're like 5 years apart, and so sometimes you think, oh, they probably aren't that close, but like we're like this. And so that's probably just come with just everything that we've been through together, but mm-hmm. also just like in her, just a lot of times she goes like straight in with her face, or and she's a very like witness to me of like God and like Jesus, because I can like, I don't know, I see like God through her a lot, and just like the way she acts towards people, and the way you just like interact with others, and you're so like caring, and so that's probably
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, that's probably how I
Lizzie, how about you?
Probably I love how you have the freedom to just like talk to anybody. Like, you're just, like, so nice to everyone you know and new people that you meet. And, like, I feel like you inspire them and me to, like, be better people. Because, like, I feel like, it's like, I've always thought, like, well, I wish I had the same relationship with God as Kate does. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought of that. And I feel like, it's just because, like, I feel like you're so connected to him. And, like, in so many ways, and, like, I mean, your relationship with God is different from mine, but, like, it's so amazing to, like, have, like, a role model for me to look up to, and I think, like, your, like, love for everyone around, like, you and, like, in our family and everything, like, and not being afraid to talk to people is, like, super inspiring.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
All right, girls, we're going to have to go to a break, but before that, I have one last question for you. Okay, so you've spoken of Catholic Youth Summer Camp, and so if why should someone attend? Like, if a kid's, like, on the brink of, like, I don't know if I want to go to a church camp, or I don't know if I want to go to, like, a church retreat type thing, like, why should someone attend a summer camp for their faith or a retreat for their faith? What does it do?
Well, you'll definitely, like, encounter Jesus, but also it's just, like, the fact it kind of puts in everything that, like, or the realization that everything you do connects with, like, God or in some way, even if you're on the zip line or you're just doing, like, activities or, like, team activities or something, but that everything, and so through that, you'll get, like, you'll, I guess, realize and just, like, start to realize that God is, like, in everything and everything you do, and that your faith is connected to, like, your life.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. All right, Lizzie, you get the last word.
Probably.
I bet Lizzie gets the last word at home a lot, doesn't she, Kate?
I think that, it helped me find, like, purpose, just, like, through, like, finding Jesus. Like, it's helped me a lot to find the purpose in my life and to just, like, walk through life knowing, like, hey, I have someone out there who loves me and cares for me, like, and I feel like it helps to find, like, the fullness of life. So,
amen.
Yeah. Wise words from the mouth of a seventh grader.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Encounter Radio, co-production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio and EWTN Radio. We are going to be right back.
A Lenten Reflection with Monsignor Charles Pope.
As Lent progresses, we move closer and closer to Good Friday, where our Lord will suffer so much for us. During Lent, we often speak of three traditional practices, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And really at the heart of it is fasting. Fasting is a way of making room for God. Perhaps we will fast from food, and in that way we can save money and then give alms. Or perhaps we'll fast from some activity. perhaps looking at the internet so much, or television, or some other lawful pleasure. And in that way, we'll not only save money, but time, and we can spend more time perhaps praying, engaged in spiritual reading, or spending time with our family and children, or getting to Mass or adoration. All of these are ways that fasting is really this idea of making more room for God, making that room in our life for spiritual things.
Lenten programs now through Holy Thursday on EWTN Radio and TV.
And welcome back to Encounter. Oh my goodness, Aaron, that was insane.
That was awesome. Right? How inspiring, man.
I'm sure like most listeners, like, I wish my little like seventh grader was just like Lizzie.
Yeah, my seventh grader. What about me?
Yeah, that's
seventh,
a good point.
Seventh, 12th grade. Gosh, I did not have the depth of a life of prayer that these girls have. Mm-hmm. How inspiring. I bet that has to be going through your minds as listeners today.
Yeah. What's sticking out to you the most?
One of the coolest things that I think that Kate was sharing with us was the accessibility of being able to hear the voice of God and how that's just totally transformed her spiritual life and her intimacy and relationship with Him. You know, at Catholic Youth Summer Camp, we actually teach this, and we teach that, we simply have to come to a place where we can give God access to the tools that He's given us to communicate with the world, right? And Kate witnessed to that so incredibly that it's through her imagination, it's through her intuition, it's through the senses that she has, it's through the words that she hears in her head, it's through the visions that she sees, right? Every single one of us has this capacity because that's how God's built us to actually communicate with the world. When you close your eyes, you see things, and it's not weird until we try to label it. So get rid of that stigma. And just to know that we can actually give God permission. Let's give God permission. God, we give you permission to use the tools you've given us to communicate with the world, to communicate with us.
Yeah. When I was a kid, they would always say, like, prayer is like having a conversation with God. And I didn't really understand that as a kid, but it really is where I can ask God questions and expect answers. Yeah. And it was so interesting because Kate was like, well, when I'm in a tough ministry situation, I just ask Holy Spirit to reveal to me what I should say to that person. And, you know, Kate isn't, it's not like she's like, oh crap, what do I say? What do I say? What do I say? She actually relies on the Holy Spirit. Like, yeah. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? You know, and then you're able to give a prophetic word, a word of encouragement, or maybe Holy Spirit like actually reveals a word of knowledge about a person and you're able to pull that out. And, it's just a powerful way to evangelize. And
it doesn't need to be, you don't need to have anxiety about proclaiming the name of Jesus.
Yeah. So listeners, I want us to learn a lesson from the young today that we can hear the voice of God. And if they can do it, we can do it. Right. Amen. And, if only we'd have faith like a child that we actually trusted the Father's voice when He spoke to us. So when we asked questions and we saw a vision or we heard a voice, we didn't throw that out as, oh, that's just me talking to myself. But we actually said, wow, Father, you love me so much that you just revealed that to me.
Yeah. One of the coolest witnesses that Kate spoke about was the fact that she's grown in that. Mm-hmm. And we can grow in that.
Amen.
So it starts with a practice and with some discipline and in actually just changing the way that we speak and in experiencing a renewal of the mindset that we carry into prayer.
Yeah, and Lizzie, as a sixth grader, after she encountered Jesus Christ in the Eucharist, starts telling all of her friends about Eucharistic adoration and gets her friends, and like, she was being modest, like, from what I've heard from her youth minister, she got like her whole class to go to Eucharistic adoration together. She like put flyers all over the school. It was like, you're gonna encounter Jesus, come or die. No, it didn't say that. But like, so if we're like, I'm afraid to share the faith at work, like, just get over yourself, people. Like, if these young girls can do this, you better
you
be able to do it.
Right.
Like, and I'm just like called out. Like, parents, if you're listening, you're like, man, I was inspired by that, and I wish my young people could encounter Jesus in that powerful way. We want to invite you to look at Catholic Youth Summer Camp, CYSC.com. We're a week-long residential camp that offers high-adventure activities for middle school and high school age students. So anyone currently in fifth grade is eligible to come to Catholic Youth Summer Camp. If you're a young adult listening, you're like, man, I want to serve as a counselor or a missionary at CYSC, go to CYSC.com/mission, and you can sign up to be a missionary and help bring the revival of the Catholic Church in America to our middle school and high school age youth. This summer, we're going to have close to 4,000 young people here in Ohio encounter encountering Jesus Christ in a life-changing way through Catholic Youth Summer Camp. So that's CYSC.com. And Aaron, we got to close. It's time to close up. But you've been listening to Encounter. Aaron, thanks so much for joining us and being a co-host today. You've done a great job.
It's been a pleasure.
Oh, yes. And listeners, we want to just bless you. So, Father, we just ask that you would inspire our listeners' prayer life. Allow them to hear your voice more clearly. Allow them, their ears to be open, their minds and their hearts to be transformed. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to Encounter. If you want to listen to more of our shows, you can go to encounterradio.org. That's encounterradio.org. Or you can find our podcast there as well. And if you have a life-changing encounter that you want to share with our audience, you can let us know there as well. Thanks so much. God bless.